Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend, we celebrate the second Sunday of Advent. And as we prepare for those readings coming up, I want to remind everybody that the feast day of the Immaculate Conception is coming up on December 8th. And it is a perfect time, my friends, to include our Blessed Mother Mary in your prayers. And through the intercession of Mother Mary, I pray that you will include all of your intentions within your hearts. And this is important, my friends, because Mary, you know, very often is not included. However, Mary was included in the plan that our Father in Heaven had for us for her salvation. We know from the Gospel of Luke that our Blessed Mother Mary was really given the great privilege, the great opportunity, the great miracle of having the birth of Christ through her, using her as a vessel to bring the Lord into the world, which is just such a beautiful and special thought within all of our minds as we prepare for the coming of Christmas and the birth of Christ once again. So once again, we're praying that our Blessed Mother Mary will be there for you, and she will bring your intentions into the heart, into the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. And my friends, as we prepare now, we're going to get into our readings for this Sunday, the second Sunday of Advent. And once again, this is Clear for Takeoff, so let's open our checklist, my friends. Number one, do you have time for God? Check. Do you have a heart for God? Is your heart open wide? Check. Are your Bibles open? Check. And are you free of distractions at this time? Check. Well, then we're ready, my friends, once again, to engage in the Word of God, which is so powerful, so enlightening, and such a special thing for all of us as we engage in the readings. The first reading this morning is from the book of Baruch, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. A reading from the book of the prophet Baruch. Jerusalem, take off your robe of mourning and misery. Put on the splendor of glory from God forever, wrapped in the cloak of justice from God. Bear on your head the mitre that displays the glory of the eternal name. For God will show all the earth your splendor. You will be named by God forever, the peace of justice, the glory of God's worship. Up, Jerusalem, stand upon the heights. Look to the east and see your children, gathered from the east and the west at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that they are remembered by God. Led away on foot by their enemies, they left you, but God will bring them back to you, borne aloft in glory as on royal thrones. For God has commanded that every lofty mountain be made low, and that the age-old depths and gorges be filled on level ground, that Israel may advance secure in the glory of God. The forests and every fragrant kind of tree have overshadowed Israel at God's command, for God is leading Israel in joy by the light of his glory, with his mercy and justice for company. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Baruch, my friends, we see that God is leading Israel by the light of his glory. He's leading a nation by the light of the glory of God, which is just an incredible vision, if you will. How is God leading you, my friends? How is he leading you in word and action? Or are you following someone else? I want you to think about that. Israel is being led by the light of the glory of God. And as we meditate on that verse, my friends, I want you to think about your faith, where you stand as we prepare for the Christmas season, the coming of Jesus Christ, as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Is the glory of God important to you? Is it something that you strive for, to give God all the honor, praise, and glory for everything he has given us, for everything he has done for us? You know, as the Lord lived 33 years and died for us on the cross, in 25 days we celebrate the birth of Christ. But we know that the Lord dies for us and then rises from the dead. An event so powerful that world time is based on his life, death, and resurrection. And we reflect on that, my friends, because God the Father's plan for salvation included that event. Through our Blessed Mother Mary, God gives us that opportunity to seek out the Lord Jesus Christ and to give God the Father all the glory, honor, and praise. And by the light of his glory, he will lead you and I to a better way, to a better life. He will lead you and I through our journey, our passage through the years, if we allow him, if we make the choice, the decision to get on board with the Lord's way of doing things. If we only can get out of the way and allow him to lead us, to guide us, to direct us through his Holy Spirit who lives within. And that's the rub. We need to get out of the way. You know, the Lord wants us to do things in a certain way, but we have to, you know, set ourselves aside to allow his word to guide us, to direct us, and his light of his glory, like the sun that comes up every day and the moon that shines across the oceans throughout the world. God's light of his glory will lead us, will lead you and I, whether we're in a prison cell, in a recovery home, in a single family home with no one, living on our own. In any situation, God will pull you through by the light of his glory. If he can pull Israel through, a nation, okay, then he will do it for you and for I. This is important. And he says in the word that mercy and justice will be with that light of his glory for company. God's mercy is so extensive, so profound, and he forgives us for our sins again and again and again, and his mercy is forever. It's powerful, but he does require change. He's looking for change. He wants us to be good men, good women, great husbands and wives, mothers and fathers. He wants us to build a good life. So he gives us access to his mercy, which is, you know, something we have to, you know, seek out. God calls us to seek him out. He says, seek thee first the kingdom of God, and everything else will follow. The problem is, many of us will seek other things rather than God. Corporate America. Money, power, prestige. Women, men, drugs, alcohol, vacations. We are seeking out everything except the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father. When they give us the breath of life, they give us good health and access to family life. If only we live according to what God says to do. But his mercy is there for us. And for those who need forgiveness, my friends, I pray that today, right now, you will get on your knees and ask God for mercy to change your life, to start anew, to start fresh, and to become the new person that God designed you to be, whoever that is, in the eyes of God. His mercy is available. But once again, he says, seek thee first the kingdom of God, and everything else will follow. He says, ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will be open for you. Seek and you will find. He wants us to seek him out. He wants us to ask for mercy. He calls us to do it. It's there. It's available. But maybe too much pride prevents you from doing it. Too much ego, pride, territorialism. My friends, it's time right now, as we begin the month of December and prepare for the Christmas season, the birth of Christ, it's time that we unite with Christ and ask for forgiveness, ask for his mercy, and to change our ways. Number one change you need to make is, only you know that. Whatever that answer is, let's get started today. Don't wait for tomorrow. Do it today. Make that change. God tells us about his justice also alongside mercy. And God is a God of justice. He calls us to be fair and equal and to not be prejudiced. There are things that, you know, injustices that are out there are a threat to people's lives. And we need to bring justice wherever we can, in the courtroom, in the schoolhouse, in our relationships with one another. We need to be fair with people. God calls us to it. And if we don't do it, he will do it in his own way, because he is a God of justice. He will bring justice to the world, to each nation, to every unfair situation. God will level the playing field. He will do it. As he says this in the book of Baruch, he says, for God has commanded that every lofty mountain be made low, and that the age-old depths and gorges be filled to level ground, that Israel may advance secure in the glory of God. So he will level the playing field for you and I, my friends, because there are people out there who are corrupt, who are deceitful, who do things that God says not to do. So he will bring justice to an unjust situation. Thanks be to God. Let's go to our second reading now, from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 4 through 6 and 8 to 11. Brothers and sisters, I pray always with joy in my every prayer for all of you, because of your partnership for the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is my witness. How I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may increase ever more and more in knowledge and every kind of perception to discern what is of value, so that you may be pure and blameless on the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And my friends, from the mouth of St. Paul, from the heart of St. Paul to the Philippians, St. Paul prays, and he says, I pray with joy in my every prayer for all of you because of your partnership with the gospel. Do you and I have a partnership with the gospel, or are we neglectful in that partnership? Do we abuse the privilege of reading the Word of God? Do we neglect it? Is it never opened for many of us, including myself? Growing up, the Word of God was on Sunday mornings only. It was the obligation, 1 hour a week. And in school, we would go through some scriptures here and there in the catechism, but truly, it was an obligation. We weren't taught to fall in love with God. And that's what God calls us to, a loving relationship, a partnership with the gospel, a successful partnership. You treat others as you would like to be treated. How are you and I treating the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do we take it for granted? Are we neglecting it, abusing it? What is it that we are doing with the words of the gospel? Do we draw from it? Do we make decisions based on it? Or is it something that doesn't mean anything? It's not a player in everyday life. It's something nice to hear on Sundays, but we don't live it out. God calls us to live it out, to be doers of the word. What word? The word of God. And the book of James talks about that. Doers of the word. Those are people who take action and are not just listening, but they take action and they move forward based on the word of God. This is important, my friends, and St. Paul gives us his heart, and he says, I pray always with joy in my every prayer for all of you because of your partnership with the gospel of Jesus Christ. From Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four gospels. This is powerful, and St. Paul puts it together. He wants us to be in unison. He wants us to be aligned with the gospel. And he is praying for us. And it's powerful, my friends. St. Paul says this, and this is my prayer, that your love may increase ever more and more in knowledge and every kind of perception to discern what is of value, so you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ that comes, that you will be filled with righteousness. So when the Lord comes, he wants us to be pure, to be clean, blameless, to be sinless. He's calling us to make changes and to not be filled with impurities, to be filled with sin, where we're open to blame. People can point the finger, most of all, in the eyes of God. God is the only judge. He calls us not to judge, but in the eyes of God, we will be in a bad position if we are impure, filled with sin. So once again, what is the number one change you need to make? What must you eliminate from your life? Who is around you that is drawing you into this lifestyle of sin? Only you know, my friends. I want you to look in the mirror, eye to eye with yourself, and make a decision to make the number one change today. Don't wait for tomorrow. You've got to do it. God calls us to do it. We all have to do it because we're all sinners. We need to get on board with the Lord's way of doing things. And this is important. Let's go to our third reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And here it is. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea, and Trachonis, and Licinius was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the desert. John went through the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one crying out in the desert, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding road shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The word of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Luke today, my friends, we get the message through the Gospel of Luke and the reinforcement through the prophet Isaiah, who says to prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. What are you and I doing today to prepare the way of the Lord? What are we doing? What can we do? I want you to think about that. Are you and I role models for other people? Are we role models for our children? Or are we coming up short? Are we misleading the children? The Lord says to prepare the way of the Lord in the Gospel of Luke and in the prophet, through the prophet Isaiah. So what can we do to prepare for the Lord's coming? Can we unite with the Word of God? Can we raise the standards, the morals, values, ethics, and biblical principles that God puts for us? Can we adhere to those in a better way? Can we evangelize more for the Lord with great love, great passion, great zeal and enthusiasm? God calls us to do it. Through conversion, we are called to be voices for the unborn child, for traditional marriage and family life, for those things that are important for our Lord Jesus Christ. Standing up strong, my friends, for things that are in the gospel that God calls us to. Business ethics, family values, the golden rule to treat others as you would like to be treated. Prepare the way of the Lord. Let's try to put the Word of God back into the schools throughout America, throughout the world. Let's make our decisions based on the Word of God, where we are rooted in faith, like Abraham Lincoln, who said this: "It is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God, and to recognize the sublime truth in holy scriptures that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord." And Abraham Lincoln said that. He was rooted in the Word of God. He had no church affiliation. But he stood up strong for the Word of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. This is important. We need to follow suit with people who are aligned with the gospel of Jesus Christ, who are in partnership with it, who make decisions that are rooted in the Word. It's so important before we see the consequences of the reverse, which we have in many areas of the world today. So we need to prepare the way of the Lord, to make straight his paths, which is critical. We don't, like an airplane going from point A to point B, we don't want to go the long way around. We want to go the most expeditious way that we can. Eliminate the obstacles. Avoid the turbulence. Avoid the bad weather. Save time, save fuel. Well, we want to prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path. The winding road shall be made straight. The rough will be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. What are we doing to prepare for the Lord's coming? What can you and I do? Let's think about it, and let's turn off the television set, put down our phones, get off the couch, and take stock. Make a plan of action to prepare the way of the Lord. And to prepare for the Christmas season, the precious holy family that's created through the birth of Christ. The precious Christmas season is coming. In just a short time, it's not about buying presents. It's about the love of God who sends down his Son through our Blessed Mother Mary and gives us the opportunity through his life, death, and resurrection for eternal life, for salvation. Now is the time, my friends, to do whatever you can to prepare for the way of the Lord. That's our show for today. My name is Joe Montone, your host. Have a great day and God bless. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Clear for Takeoff. God bless.
You have been listening to Clear for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.